today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
After dinner, I go and I check my email and it says, there's been some changes, they're attached, new scripts for your scene. And I open it and not only have they changed every line, but the character of the disc jockey has changed. The flavor of the words have changed. Now he is not so much as a jive guy, he's more of like a dickish rock and roll guy. So the whole thing has changed. And I'm at square one again. All right, I'm really excited to have this guy in the studio with us today. He's a comedian, but get this, he's a Christian comedian, which to me sounds sort of like an oxymoron, like a happy marriage, right, Cindy? Okay, here is Pete Holmes.
Yes!
They said, now you want, we can bring you some fruit and water. I said, that would be amazing. I just want to run my lines a little bit. They said, understood.
You didn't say what I would say.
Which is?
If they offered fruit and some water, I said, could it be a pastry?
I'm sure they would have brought it if I'd asked.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome home to DJ Lester.
That's what Lester DJ is what they had written on
Lester
my dressing room door. Yeah,
he is back from his Hollywood excursion. Rob Spiewak back in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear all the details. Rob and I were discussing it a little bit. There's some very, very good stuff. But before we do that, you know, it's a very positive development for Rob and a very positive development for the show. Mm-hmm. But you know, positive doesn't always work on this show, so let's get right to the negative.
The show is a question of balance, Mike.
We gotta jump in.
Right to the negative. This is the negative is the end of the show yesterday, Rob. You weren't here. Mm. I know you listened to it.
I did.
Where we had a little moment with Marcus Serta, and it was concerning the trip to Boston. We caught him early out in Colorado, and it did not go well. Mm. And at the very end, I actually posted about it because it weighed heavily on me that the original plan was Marcus was going to get tickets for my wife and son and me at this suite that he has connections with to go to Fenway. I don't think I made this clear on the show. My responsibility was I was going to buy Marcus dinner and pick out a restaurant and we were going to go to dinner.
Yes.
So as we, what is this?
This is the song that Marcus is probably playing right now for you. Dave Loggins, Mike, please come to Boston.
Oh, stop it. All right. Anyway, so he's back. He's back, Oscar.
Who knows this song?
This is Kenny Loggins' less successful brother.
Just to recap, at the end of the show yesterday, I had a falling out with, let me turn my camera.
You look great regardless.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You can't mess up beauty.
Got this green light next to me.
Don't see that green light.
No.
It's probably your monitor.
Could be.
It is my monitor. Yeah, it's just maybe weird. I'm seeing it on my shot.
Here. Maybe maybe your monitor is dying.
I have ADD. So at the end of the show, that was the game plan that I was going to do that. And I have been spiraling because I just haven't heard a lot from Marcus. And I just, you calm down. Okay. We'll let you weigh in on everything.
I have thoughts.
I don't think you were a real pot stirrer yesterday. I think it didn't require, it was all me.
As I tell my family, reaction. I'm just keeping it real.
You're keeping it real.
I'm just keeping it real.
That's my favorite expression. I've always loved when someone says that.
As the stubble.
What, you don't want me to keep it real?
No, I want you to be just fun. Just be fun. Don't keep it real.
Fun is boring.
I like fun.
The band's back together today, people. All right, so here it is. So at the end of the show, Marcus says, it's all right, pal. And I said, pal? And he says, what do you want me to call you, your highness? And it pissed me off.
Yeah.
And I was just, and because of the tone, maybe it was because it was early. Everybody's got theories on this. There were lots of threads on it. But you know I'm me. And I said, maybe it's best if we just don't do it. And we ended the conversation, and that was it. And then, of course, after the fact, I'm Irish, and I'm racked with Irish guilt. And so yesterday, Right around midday, I tried to use my phone downstairs, and I reached out, and I was having trouble connecting with Marcus, and I stopped, but I put a phone call out to him, and then I didn't get through, but apparently I did get through because he said I left him a voicemail. But let me give you what the
his response was.
Okay, this will be good. Going to the actual document. Were you doing a lot of dialing yesterday? Because at one point I turned on my phone during a break and you had left me a minute 26 voicemail of walking around.
Yeah, my phone was, I think it's the service I have up here.
Okay.
Because I did talk to you yesterday.
Yeah, and but it was after we spoke. And I talked to Mike as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to him.
Yeah, okay.
I think he was making calls.
So yesterday, 1:40 p.m., we are driving a convertible. Missed call, but wouldn't have been able to hear or talk. Marcus will call you, will call when we get to airport, Elise. So obviously Marcus is driving and she's texting for him.
A convertible.
So I see right now, then zooming down the highway, him white knuckling, just very, very tense because he's in a convertible.
I assume Marcus is going to call and I'm hopefully going to. Now, during all this, it kind of has been indicated to me, Carlos. Tired of the whole thing, and she's got a 5K that she wants to do up here. So you know, he would have gotten me, but nice. My plan was to say, hey, listen, if you're really into it and just confirm that, then maybe you just get me and, you know, let's go out and have a few beers, something Marcus and I could do. So then I get this follow-up that says,
this is after the convertible text.
This is after the convertible. Mike, I listened to VM, so it appears you just butt dialed me, so I won't be calling. Be well. So then I last night. So after this, I just let it go. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm starting to get frustrated again. I'm starting to get frustrated again.
Yes.
But listen, I have the great arbiter.
I said,
and she hadn't listened to it. And then I play the segment, and I play it for my betrothed. I play it for Carla, who really I lean on in situations like this. And I'm playing, oh, not poor Carla. She's having, and Carla gets done listening to the segment, and this is the look I get. Carla goes, I'm like, oh, that's the mic is a dick look. That's the mic is being a dick look. I said, but Carla was non-committal on it.
Uh-huh.
Because she heard then the follow-up where Oscar and I kind of discussed the history with some of the stuff with the Tony Perkins show, which I would say, Oscar, I think it would be honest if we said that's really not been satisfactorily resolved in all of our minds.
It never was.
His response was, I'm sorry to hear you feel that way.
We did. So
a classic non-apology apology.
Yeah.
So there's been some tension there all along. And I felt it with the level of enthusiasm. And I have to make it really clear to our listening audience, a lot of this was a vibe, was just feeling it. Now, and everyone who knows my paranoia, that sometimes that's accurate, sometimes it's not. So so I called him, I think, did I call him one more time? I'm not sure if I called him
just
one
like
more
swingers.
Call me, baby, one more time.
Well, Oscar, it's a long-term relationship, and I don't like to blow those up.
Oh,
I really don't.
I love breaking people off.
Okay,
I don't think this was breaking up a relationship. This was just canceling plans.
Also, take a page of this new generation.
Well,
Mike,
no, but if there's,
or if
there's,
you just ghost them.
Well, oh yeah. Well,
just
I
just let it drop.
You know, you know me. I'm not good at that. What are you doing with your hand?
I'm saying, how many people have we let just float out of the studio and say
goodbye?
Yeah,
that's true. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But also, how many people have been with me for the ride, like Zoolander and Girl,
yes.
Yeah.
And interns like that, the people, and Rofo's still with us, and Mac's still with us,
Pac-Man.
And Diego's still with us.
Those are the cherries and the banana.
Okay, stop. Don't do
start
this.
Start us a little
again.
Pellet.
Please don't do this yet.
Very, very strange
I welcome
analogy.
Your look, you're in, you both are involved in this as well, but this is my last night at 6:22 after I get the look from Carla.
Okay.
Because Carla gives me the look going into dinner, and I can't enjoy my dinner because I'm thinking about
does
this.
Does she say anything? Because is there any way that, that the
just,
look was
no,
a, it's
no,
a Marcus
she,
is a dick look?
She was not. It was not Marcus is a dick. Mike is a dick.
Okay, I'm just making sure
Carla
you could
gave
interpret
me
it.
The
yeah.
Mike is a dick look, not the Mark. And then she listened to the follow-up. She said, well, after hearing the follow-up with the history, maybe there is something
maybe
there.
Maybe you guys belong to each other.
Mm-hmm.
No, that wasn't
it. Oh, that
wasn't
it either? Okay.
No. Come to rehearsal and you'll understand these things. Okay?
You don't have to give me talking points. I know how I feel. I'm okay with telling people that.
I know, and I know you feel, I was surprised that you feel as strongly about this as you did, and I understand why, and that because you kind of were aware of the whole Robin Joe thing before anybody else.
Yes.
You're the one that found out about that.
I heard it
first.
And
it made you mad.
And I said, what a dick.
So here we go. I think there was one phone call last night after this text message.
Okay.
And he didn't answer. But the text I sent was, you were probably in the air. I didn't butt dial you. Just a bad service up here, which you guys know about as
It's terrible.
Really wanted to chat. Please let me know when that is possible. By the way, my wife said I was being a dick. Now, that to me is an olive branch.
I agree.
That is an olive branch. With that said, I still don't know how this guy really feels. I really don't. And I'm really uncertain of it. And with the attitude that I thought was, you know, and a lot of people are arguing, no, there wasn't an attitude. It was early in the morning. Okay. But as we discussed yesterday on the show, it was not like, hey, this will be fun. Don't worry. It's ridiculous. There was just, it was kind of like mellow chill. And I don't know what the deal. So I have, and he's in the wind now. I have not received any correspondence from him, and I have not received any text. And so the, you know, to the best of my knowledge, that, you know, that's the situation.
Still I listened to the segment this morning.
Or it's over. I mean, that's fine.
In full context, listen to the whole show, listen to it unfold. I was surprised that you didn't spiral out more and that you ended it coolly. But what I got from it is this, is that he was trying to really be big man on campus, too cool for school, when he says, hey, come on, pal. You know, hey, pal, come on. And he needed to be was, and then he doubled down when he said, I forgot about your majesty. Your highness or whatever. He
Which,
doesn't
by the way,
need to do that.
I like that idea, and I'd like to be referred to as your...
We always kiss the ring when we walk in the studio.
Of course we do. Of course we do.
Right on the screen.
Yeah, right.
He holds it out.
Yeah, I got saliva all over my fingers right now.
No, the screen does.
They be dripping.
The screen does, yes. So that's where it ended, and that's the latest update.
He brought at least a pound of attitude with that call where it was not warranted and it was not needed.
You're not saying that it's the early morning.
No, of course not. And also, keep in mind, in theory, he's a broadcaster.
Early morning human beings.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been about 7:30 their time.
Mike.
Boo, effing who? 7:30. Big deal.
May I add something? I've
been up since 3 o'clock this
morning. People, they love to blame it was raining.
Yeah.
It was early morning. I had a long day.
With that said, though, I have to look. I'm playing devil's advocate.
And
against
he called
my
you if he was
here.
So if he was so bothered about the time of day, if it was a factor, he shouldn't have called that early because he called you guys.
But here's the thing: I'm playing devil's advocate because outside of the Your Highness, which was snarky.
Pal bothered me more than Your Highness.
Well, pal, you know how you and I not necessarily Oscar, but you and I have always hated pal.
Yeah, it's not good.
We've always hated it. I've always said, I completely understand.
Who?
George Pal.
He was a director. I think he directed Tom Thumb and a lot of fantasy films in the 1950s and 60s.
Right.
Yeah.
When I say PayPal, that's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to say something that's completely irrelevant?
Why are you interrupting Mike? He has a story to tell.
You're right.
Where was I?
George Pal.
No, not George Pal.
This is it, though. There was nothing outside of that little exchange that was, in my opinion, all that egregious. And that's why I reached out. But what hasn't been resolved, and what I really wanted to resolve off air, was to say to him, hey, you know, do you really want to do this? Because I don't feel... And everybody, you know, who's saying to me, oh, he's not subservient enough. No, it is
not about that.
What it's about is two people doing something, and yes, is it fun to go to a Red Sox game? Yeah, but not so much fun that if he's doing it out of obligation or he's not totally into it. I think it's a long drive for him to get to Boston. All this stuff, I just wanted to verify, and if you're saying that, no, it's fine. It's fine. If you're saying it like that, I'm not convinced of it.
Can I pull the curtain back a little bit as far as my emotions are concerned? Last night, I was on the TMOS fan club page.
Yeah,
and on Facebook. Where I posted I saw your post about Rob being on the show today.
Yeah. And I can't wait to get to the fun here, as Rob says. He's back, so we're going to have some fun today.
There's going to be a lot of fun today.
And then I was done. I was like, I need a palate cleanser, so I opened up my three-ring binder of Garbage Pail Kids.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, look. That's
popular 80s collectible.
Yes. Matt Ratt. What a great illustration. These stickers, they're still in pristine condition. And
it'll pay for a college education someday for a youngster. Yes.
He rules too. And I sat there, I was like, what happened to the days of just being excited to hang out with each other? What is this? What happened to this? And trade cards with your friends and enjoy a game, right? What about just, you don't have to pretend to do things, because if you say you want to do something, you should really want to. And if Mike felt like, which I did as well, take all the paranoia away and you know, his personality quirks that Mike has that we all know. We all have our individuals, but we know Mike very well because he talks about him here on the air.
Right.
You take that away, I think what at the root of it, and Mike, I can't speak for you, but I would say that I would want somebody that I'm going to go hang out with and I'm going to travel to be with, regardless of, take the game out of the equation. I want to know that we're going to have a great time and it's going to be great energy and it's going to be fun and you want to do this. I don't want to feel like I'm making you do anything.
Yeah, it's like before the actual, you know, play date happened, there's a black cloud over it already, just based on his attitude and even the fact that he was slow to respond.
That's my take.
I agree with that. That's Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
I don't, you know, so where it ends now is, I don't know where it ends. I this is a guy that is on, you know, has a program about my program.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, I kind of have to... I have to leave it in the hands of my buddy with the shaved head. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't know where we go from here, but it's you know, I've reached out. If he wanted to communicate with me, he would have communicated with me. Yeah. I think he's chosen to, you know, to do that, and I'm not. I wish I could be more.
Maybe we've outgrown his friendship.
Well,
that happens all the time.
I don't know if how I feel about it. I really don't. I'm as confused about it as I was yesterday at dinner. That's why I asked my wife about it. That's why I reached out a couple of times, because I just wanted some clarity, and that's been hard to do. Now,
you know what?
There's one other factor, and I'm probably going to bite myself in the ass.
I have an add-on when
regarding being in the room, and that may be the wife factor. Remember when we talked to him, his wife, he was in a hotel,
right.
He was traveling with his wife, and you know, we all have wife in the room conversations.
Of course.
And you know what I mean?
We all have a little room. Yeah. So you have to go, Papa's talking.
We all can't be Oscar Santa.
However, in your house, does that really help?
Leave the hotel room, stand out in the hallway.
In your home, does it really help because it's such a small home? Even if she says you have to leave the house?
I say, go back, bang some pots and pans around.
Clattering pots and pans.
I got a business call.
So there
put
might
on an
be
apron
that
and clatter
well.
Pots and pans.
But with all that said, and when we talked last year, there was a lot of comments about that name you gave for his wife.
Yeah, I don't.
Elise.
It doesn't bear repeating. It was just a little joke,
right.
And
it didn't land well. Apparently, it was not popular in that.
I meant it as a tribute. I don't know why it was ill received, but I don't want to revisit it now.
Yeah. So. That's the update. I don't have really yes, Oscar.
So take this with you, Mike. Mm-hmm. That I see how that can be confusing. I like the fact that we've gotten deep enough to say, okay, maybe it's just a husband in front of his wife.
Could be,
you know, and he acted a certain
as well
way,
as early.
Right?
You know, I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And that's why I reached out, because I was the one that said maybe we shouldn't do it. I'm the one that you know, pulled the last dick move.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I really didn't think. I still don't think he was into it. I still believe that. And I think it has to do with the history of the last time he was on the show.
Mm.
If I can just add on to that, he's had a history of less than stellar appearances on this show. I would say more often than not, I don't have the statistics to bear me out, but my gut feeling is I remember that whenever he's on the show via telephone, it usually goes worse than better.
It does. And it does because, once again, there's a bit of an attitude issue there.
He's a cool guy. He wants to be cool. He wants to come off as cool. You can't blame him for that.
That's probably what it is. That's probably what it is, too. But with that said, I still want to, you know, I'm a little confused on it. So I reached out. I've reached out. I don't think I can do much more enough than that. I think I've explained my position on it. And that's it. But it's still one that the reason it sticks in my craw is because I love closure.
Yeah.
I would much rather have somebody say, no, you pissed me off about the whole thing with Tony Perkins when you guys grilled me on the show. I don't like doing the Omericast show anymore. It's just not working for me. I'm better on that than this silent, not getting any kind of resolution on this. And I'm fine if we don't get it, but I love closure. I like to know where I stand.
Well, it's healthy.
And that's where it is right now. But I don't think the silence to me is kind of speaking volumes at this particular show. Mm-hmm.
You've given him more than enough opportunity to answer.
And the fact that you're even talking about it now shows me like how much you actually care.
Because I don't like somebody who has been associated with the name of this show for this long.
A friend.
And that's why when we were, when he was taking shots at us on another show.
That was confusing
show,
as well.
Yeah. Right.
That was confusing too. We're like, hey, dude, I mean, I thought the whole idea was to talk to people that are fans of this show and promote our show. And so I don't know what his motivations are. And the fact that there hasn't been contact would indicate that maybe he's, it's time and that's the way it goes. And sometimes things don't work out. But it's, it's not, I don't want to sound like we're the big shots here, but it's not a relevant enough program on the network to affect us. It was, I think, a great vehicle for people to come on that were listeners of the show.
Yes.
And that's the way I got it.
It would be nice for someone that loves the show to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think he falls into that
category? Well, I don't. I mean, I don't know if that's
a lot
the
of
case
people
now,
have told me
not,
that. So
he's
I don't
not
know.
Always
I don't
doing
to the show enough.
But like I said, sometimes people grow out of and their schedules change, and there might be multiple factors. I think it's important to note that again, the idea that you're bringing this up means you actually care.
Yeah,
I do care,
and I wasn't expecting that. Quite frankly, I thought we were just going to talk about how famous Rob is now.
I'm sorry to this, and I'm planning on doing that. And I just needed to get my moment out here and say this. You're not going to find ever for me, the one chip I do not possess is the chip where I play the swinging D.
Yeah.
I don't care about it. I've never cared about it. To me, if I really feel strongly about something like that, you'll hear it on the air. It'll happen. It'll spill over on the air, like it did yesterday.
Yes.
I got pissed off. Pissed off. Maybe, some might say that it was legit. Some might say it's not. But I got pissed off. I feel remorse if I think, maybe I overreacted. I'm not going to sit there and go, I never make a mistake. I never, I've apologized. The whole pony apology tour. I know that I get hot under the collar.
It was pretty long in my eyes.
It was,
too long
for
pony.
It was,
Could have been condensed.
Was that just me?
Done in more of like an intense, shorter.
So that's it. I'm not going to fake it, though. So that's exactly how I feel about this. And I don't know where it's going to go or whether it's over. And if it is, I'm bummed about it. But it is. Yes.
I just got a text from Pony. He says, tell Mike, I forgive you, pal.
And now when we come back, fun stuff with Rob on the HBO show Crashing. We will have all the details of his full day of Hollywood when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
So I had ice cream the other night. It's a different experience as an adult than it is as a kid, right?
Oh, God.
Have ice cream as a kid, all your friends are around, it's daytime, it's joyful, yay. You have ice cream as an adult, it's dark, you're by yourself. You're alone talking to yourself. I shouldn't be doing this, this is stupid. I guess what I'm saying is I need money. I'm not super poor, but I know exactly how much money I have in the bank at all times. That's a bad place to be when you know exactly how much money you have. It's like I'm 8. I have $44 now. My buddy said, at least you got your health. I'm like, ooh, I get to be poor for a long time. He's always like, money changes you. I'm like, I sure hope so.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
From our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the Podcast Village Studios, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to some of our friends, is a worldwide radio show and podcast with a loyal following of listeners who get it. And if you are listening right now, you do too. TMOS is always ready to hear from you with our weekly mailbag, our wide open Wednesday phone calls. Our show is an interactive experience, and we love our audience participation. So please let us hear from you all over the world. The Mike O'Mara Show on now and brought to you by Beachbody On Demand. One of the hardest things about working out is it's inconvenient.
Yes.
So now more than ever, you need Beachbody On Demand. Beachbody On Demand is an easy-to-use streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room 24/7. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21-Day Fix, T25, my favorite, Brazil Butt Lift.
Yes.
It's working. I got out of the shower and looked today. It's awesome. Pio, Hip Hop Abs. How are you doing with hip hop abs,
Rob? I'm good at hip, not so good at hop, but my abs have never looked better.
3-week yoga retreat, more. Get motivated by celebrity super trainers you know, like Sean, Tony Horton, Autumn Calabrese. Hundreds of workouts for all fitness levels, ranging from bodybuilding to weight training to cardio to yoga, even dance workouts that you can access on any smart device. I know you love it, Oscar Santana. You've been doing it. How are you doing?
Listen, I'm doing better than I thought I would be. If you are using Beachbody On Demand and you're using one of these workouts we're doing, please tell us about it. Yes. And this is not, actually, the advertisers haven't even asked us to do this. Because what I loved is I mentioned a new workout that I'm just getting into here. And I had a listener write and explain how much they were a fan of this and how it changed their life. I think we need more people to see that. Because there are so many workouts that maybe you want to pick one that isn't at the top tier or isn't one of those, I know P90X. Try something different. There's so much to choose from.
I really want you to try this service because it'll make you feel better inside and out. I promise our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text TMOS to 303030.
So
that's
many workouts.
Access to this entire platform. He's right. It's got tons of them for free. You get the access, all the workouts, nutrition information, and support totally free. Again, text TMOS to 303030, and we thank you in advance. All right. He has been up since 3 o'clock in the morning. He wanted to come back and tell us.
2 a.m.
Yeah.
I am very, very excited to hear about it.
You look great for 2 a.m.
Thank you. It was a nice train ride down.
Three doors
down.
We
talked yesterday. You're pretty pumped about the way that everything went down.
Yes.
I want to hear all the details. The show is crashing.
Crashing, and this will be episode 7, and by my math, it should drop this fall.
Whoa.
Very cool.
The fall lineup.
I know the entire plot arc for season 3. I've been asked not to reveal it, but I say it involves him going on tour. Pete Holmes going on tour with a publicist. And it's very funny.
Are they specific? My first question that pops into my head. Are they specific about what you can and cannot
say?
No,
but they just say when they hand you the full script, well, they let you print it out and it says, this is the property of HBO, not to be shared, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to cause trouble. Okay. When we auditioned, and we know the backstory is that Sarah Fraser auditioned for a role and I was her scene partner. So they actually liked what I did and they asked if I would be up for doing it. And I said, absolutely. And they gave us both the roles.
It was a rapid turnaround. The audition and Oscar kind of made sure that you guys shot that with good cameras.
I have to give her full credit.
Yeah, it was Pete who did it.
Shannon.
Yeah, my
Shannon's
wife.
The one that did it. That's
my
awesome.
Wife was like, look, this iPhone BS is Bush League. We have these broadcast quality cameras.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We have
the
time. I'll help you guys. Let's do it.
And so we did. Cool. We actually did the recording of that, I believe, on Thursday.
Thursday's birthday.
And then we shot on Wednesday the following week. That was the turnaround. That was that fast.
It was whirlwind, and you had to go up on Tuesday night for wardrobe, which is, I just picture you in the big trailer. Is it a big trailer? How did it work?
So Tuesday, we finish up after the show, and I meet Sarah Fraser, and we get on the
They Excella. Sent a car for you, by the way.
They did, and she apologized that she sent a car. I said, I really feel bad. I said, I'd prefer to drive to Union Station, so my car is there. And she said, I don't know why they sent a car for you. I'm sorry. I said, well, don't apologize to me.
I got a hot call from Sarah Fraser. She's like, there's a car waiting outside to take Rob to Union Station. And I said, well, He's not here.
He's gone.
Well, and by the way, that accommodation
classy.
would be perfectly fine for Rob. Yeah. If we had some place you could really leave your car here.
Right.
We don't.
We do not.
There's no place you can leave your car without a $250 ticket on.
I have a ticket right here.
Right.
Fun for everybody.
By the way, it was almost as cheap to keep my car at Union Station as it would be to park here two more days at Podcast Village.
Because so, you can't, across the street, you can't park overnight.
No, you can't. And no, I'm not
you're not
sure,
allowed to.
Not sure you'd want to. So I get to Union Station. It's a beautiful, it's the Acela train on the way up.
Acela.
Beautiful. It's Acela. It's, you know.
Did you say Acela?
Acela.
It's a Leesburg. It's a Leesburg. It's fine.
Okay, is it?
It's a Acela.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's been Acela. It's never changed.
Does your car have an accelerator?
No.
What does it have when you want to go?
Accelerator.
For people around the country that have never been on one, it's the high-speed train that goes from D.C. To New York and maybe up to Boston.
Yeah, and it did it in less than 3 hours. Wonderful
trip.
I used
to live on that thing. I used to be on that thing all the time.
So we get to New York, get to Penn Station, get out, and my phone, of course, for the last 12, 15 minutes of the trip, you're underground. You have no cell service. Mm-hmm. And we were a couple minutes late getting
into... Did you have access to the dining car?
No, we did not. Because I was acting like an asshole.
He's so cute. We took a train to New York City.
New York City.
I've never seen such a tall city before.
Well, you know, I guess what was so shocking is that you've
buildings?
Been there so many times. You used to work there.
Yeah.
You used to work in New York.
Acela. So I mispronounced one word. What's it like, Oscar? How do I deal with it?
It's glorious for me because
glorious.
I usually do this. So now I can pounce on you.
So, after like being incommunicado for about 15 minutes, because the last portion of the train ride is underground, you have no cell service. I get out and I finally get cell service in Penn Station. And the lady from HBO is saying, your driver is waiting for you. You should take the 31st Street exit out of Penn Station. I say, great.
Logistics.
Yeah. And so I leave on that side.
Nothing like a driver in New York, really.
It's
nothing
the best.
Like having your own car, because transportation is, it's either the subway or a cab or the bus.
So,
rickshaw.
Yeah. So Sarah and I come out and we go up, and there in front of Madison Square Garden is a beautiful black Mercedes with a driver in a suit holding up a sign. Holding up a sign in the middle of Manhattan that says Rob Spiewak.
Oh my God.
Just waiting for us.
It wasn't Sarah Fraser?
No, it was my name.
Wow.
Which
more lines.
Very surprising.
And awkward.
Yeah, and not that it matters. I'm not really about statistics, but I was sixth on the call sheet.
Whoa.
Right.
What does that mean?
She was eighth.
What does sixth mean?
That's the priority of the roles in that episode.
Look at this guy. You came back swinging your D around.
Why not? It's something you and I would crave to do. But the thing, so six means there are plenty of people underneath you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so
you're a big part of this scene.
This was a big scene.
I mean, this episode.
It was a key scene to the episode. I'm willing to bet that I will be in the episode. Because, anytime you do something, there's always a reason, a thought you can be cut.
Yeah, it's part of the plot arc, I imagine.
It's very key to the plot.
All right, stop right there, because we have to take a break.
Right.
When we come back, what's going to be the next phase?
The next phase, we're going to wardrobe.
That's what I want to hear about. I don't want to give things away, but it involves a hat.
No, stop it.
Anyway, I'm sorry. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Rob goes to Hollywood. Well, technically Brooklyn, New York, but it's still Hollywood.
It's and
we'll do that when we come back.
Why would any self-respecting Buffalo sports fan open a Buffalo-themed restaurant in Herndon, Virginia? Because Jimmy's Old Town Tavern is perfectly located between the world's finest chickens and the world's finest buffalo spices. Who writes this stuff? Have six drinks and listen to the America, because it is perfectly located between the Gary Stein Show and the Cookies and Cake Show. And remember, Jimmy's is still accepting donations for our endless wing construction projects. Listen to the America and buy a brick. It'll be okay.
Welcome
good
back.
Read. That's the one they use.
That's the good one. What was he on the call sheet? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. He who hesitates is lost.
Yes.
Sound advice, especially when you're talking finances. Listen up, hesitators. The Fed has announced 5 more rate hikes in the next 2 years, so you better get moving. If you hesitate, you lose. So you got to lock in now while rates are still super low, and you can get cash out for any reason. Debt consolidation, a divorce buyout.
Ooh.
Oh.
Eliminating PMI, home improvement, a chocolate fountain. a solid brass baby pool.
Oh, get brass handles. Plated. Get solid.
Brass plated.
Yeah, no, you don't want that.
Yeah, well, those are the cheap ones. The solid brass ones are great.
That's where the money is.
Those workers. What a struggle. Cornerstone First Financial is a direct lender with their own money and the ability to meet any competitor's estimate. You see, Cornerstone has a certain amount that they have to clear off their warehouse line each month, and they do it by offering the absolute lowest rates to you. Whether it's a purchase, refinance, debt consolidation, plus get pre-approved before you work with an agent so you know what you qualify for. Just like so many TMOS listeners have done before you, I promise you, Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice about money. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. It's back to Hollywood Rob. This is the real... Look, when this first... came down the pike. It was an audition in one studio over where this exploded in the blink of an eye to Rob having a primary role on one of the more successful shows on HBO. This is the big time.
And it's HBO. That's the thing that I couldn't get through my head. How great it was. This HBO. Is HBO. Right.
So, and I want to say that as far as any nerves that you had, any questions that you might have brought up to the team, you didn't signal any of this. I had an offline conversation with Sarah Fraser, and she's like, Rob has a lot of lines. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, the one thing I know about Rob is that like he, for since he was in high school, has lived for this part.
He was theater arts in high school.
Yeah, that's all I did in high school.
So I said, you don't have to worry about him. She goes, no, but he's got a lot of lines. I said, I can guarantee you that he will know his lines even before his lines are finalized.
I want to get to the detail of that because I want to hear all about the process and how it's done and how
let
much
me do,
you have to
let
memorize.
Let me do wardrobe, the wardrobe
story. We're
in
wardrobe now, right?
Okay. So this guy, and they told us that our driver was going to be named Doc. So I assumed it would be like an old white guy, D-O-C, right? Doc. Our driver was an Asian guy named Doc, D-A-K. And he loved to talk, but we couldn't understand a word he was saying. So Sarah and I, as we're driving through Manhattan, he would finish a paragraph, and knowing what limited stuff I know about the city, I'd guess he'd go, these are very expensive, and I'd say, it's the garment district. Yes. And it was like you got a clue right on Jeopardy. And so it was very exciting. So he gets us out of town. We go through, I think it's the Queenstown Tunnel. Is that the big long tunnel that goes under the river?
I'm going to defer to you. Don't need all that detail. Get us to the...
And so we get to Brooklyn, and it gets... Well, what I'm saying is that we leave, you know...
You leave the city. Just go to Brooklyn.
And we get there, and it's like an industrial park. And,
oh, okay. See, this is good.
And is this the sound stage where you go right to the sound stage?
No, I thought it would be at the sound stage, but it turns out that was a misnomer. We get to Brooklyn, and you know, it starts out with being like townhouses, and it looks almost like Georgetown, and then it gets to be like, you know, office buildings, and then it's like really an industrial park.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what to expect because I just have an address.
Yeah,
we're going to
be murdered?
Exactly.
Yeah, what you expect is you're going to have your body dropped off in the sewer. That's what's going to happen there. Yeah. I'm from HBO, but I'm dead.
So we get to the place, check the address against the paper. It's nondescript. And I say, I guess this is it. And we go up and I see taped to the door. It says crashing production. And so I said, oh, so this is the place. And I go in and it's a big warehouse styled room with one office up front and just miles of rolling clothing racks.
Wow.
And they've got
the big time, baby.
And I look at the clothing rack that's up front and it says a name of a person, name of a person. And then there's another divider, like it's like a size divider on a clothing rack, except written on it, it says DJ. And under DJ, I see...
Was it easy to spot? Because that's where all the really big clothes were.
Mike, you're laughing. There was sticking out a pair of pants that were cut a little bit like skinny jeans, but because they fit me or actually were a size up, I had to wear a belt. They were not skinny jeans. They were sort of a brushed black, paisley-patterned black pants. And I saw them from across the room. And I said, oh, boy.
You, did you run to them?
Well, what I did is I identified who we were, and they said, the lady will be with you shortly. Please have a seat. And I walk over, and I said, I just got to look at the size on the pants. And they were just about my size. And I'm like, those right. are going to be my pants. And then look at the stuff out that's on the rack, and there's like a, because I'm a rock DJ, so there's like an AC/DC t-shirt and a denim biker jacket and a denim biker vest. And I'm like, oh, man. Okay, so I know what look they're going for. So I go back to wait with Sarah. She's going to be fitted first. Mm-hmm. And while we're waiting for the lady, I look up and there's a...
Did you get to watch Sarah?
I helped her.
Be fitted?
With her under things. I helped her.
Stop it. All right. I was just asking.
So, no, there was a separate room. And there's
her
a...
under things.
There is a...
She hit the alarm, Rob.
Like a dad.
You think?
Dad says that.
Sorry. All
right. So there's
a pervert says that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pony.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, who woke him up? So there's a whiteboard, and it says one name I didn't recognize, and it says Sarah Fraser, then it says Rob Spiewak, and then it says Eve Plum. And right
Eve
away,
Plum, the actress?
Right away I recognized her. I said,
Brady Bunch.
I said, that's Jan Brady. Mm. Jan Brady. And Sarah looks at me a little blankly because I realize Sarah is a third of my age. Mm-hmm. And I say, Jan Brady from the Brady Bunch. And she says, oh, which one was Jan? And I'm like, oh, okay, so this is lost on you.
That's the middle child?
Is she the one
that says, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha?
One of the key sitcom punchlines of all time is attributed to this.
Marsha, Marsha, is from Eve Plum.
Yeah, so Sarah gets fitted, and Sarah brought a lot of her own wardrobe, so that went really fast. And then I brought nothing of my own, and I got to tell you, it is so cool.
Except your Spanx.
Well, of course, otherwise I wouldn't need a belt. So... It is really awesome when you go into the room and they've got like one of those changing screens and the guy brings in this rolling rack and it's got a dozen outfits that are already pre-selected in your size.
What's a changing screen?
Like, you know, like one of those things. It's like an accordion screen that you can stand behind if you want to be.
You stand behind. Is the goal, are you picking out one outfit?
Yeah, I'm going to have one outfit for the whole day.
For the whole day. So is their goal to have you look jive or is their goal to have you look good?
To make me look like
a rock
DJ that sort of has his act together. That's the way I would describe it.
Okay.
Because he is
authentic.
He is a 50-year-old disc. I gave the character some thought. He's a 50-year-old disc jockey in Charleston, South Carolina. So obviously that's not the market he intended to end up in, but he has. So he probably has been in a lot of places and he's done this for a while. And so they try me in the AC/DC t-shirt. They try me with vest, without vest, always with the fancy black pants though. And, we go back and forth. They probably put me in like 18 different combinations. He takes iPhone pictures of all of them. Mm-hmm. And then he says, okay, that's enough. One more thing. And he said, and I'll try to affect his voice if I can. He says, somehow I see you in a hat. And I went, you do? I said, I'll be wearing headphones. He says, you could wear the headphones over the hat I'm picturing.
I like this guy. This guy's smart.
Details.
But that's his thing. That's what he's paid to do.
Yeah. And I said, I really hate to be
they get Emmys for people like that.
I think his name was Aubrey. I said, Aubrey, I hate to say this to you. Whatever hat you have is not going to fit me.
You got a big melon. Rob's had a big head his whole life.
He says,
and I'm not talking about because of the ego of doing the show.
No, HBO
show. I'm talking about physically,
circumference,
he has a large
radius.
Cranium.
He said, the producers warned me about that. Try this. And he pulls out just a plain black, like Uncle June cap from The Sopranos. And
a beret?
Well, not a beret because it has a brim on it.
A driving cap.
And it fits like a glove. Like it was made for me. And I'm
Did
like,
you keep it?
Damn it. No, I didn't keep any wardrobe. They're
Do you
very
not
wardrobe.
Like hats?
Well, I didn't know if the hat look is what I was going to want to be on TV with.
And I guess when you're up there and you're in the middle of it, you don't want to look at the guy and keep that.
Yeah, so anyway, we went with the outfit and it turned out it was a black Levi's denim coat, a burgundy t-shirt, the idiot pants, black Vans for shoes, and the hat. And he goes up and he goes, talks to the producers upstairs and comes back and says, or I guess it was the costume designer. He says, that's your outfit. It'll be ready to go. You're free to leave. And I said, very cool. So I walk out and sitting on the couch is Sarah Fraser and Eve Plum, Jan Brady. Mm. And she's right there. And it's everything I can do.
After all these years, is she still recognizable as Jan Brady?
Absolutely. And when she said something, that was what was so cool because it was Jan Brady's voice.
Did she have a Snickers in her hand?
She did not.
There's a commercial. Yeah. I just didn't know.
But it was the best acting I did the whole day was acting like I didn't care that I was standing next to Jan Brady. And that was hard because it was pretty cool for me.
Rob is a TV guy.
And
I love the Brady Bunch.
So I just, at that point, I just made pleasantry. I said, hi, nice to see you. And I said, I think he's ready for you now. And I didn't bring up anything. And so,
oh, look at you! Restraint.
A lot of self-control.
Yes.
And so then we go back.
Is that handle that differently? I might really go out there and just, if I was into it, go, Jan Brady!
Well, he was,
she'd probably hate
he was
me,
probably but, banking that he'd get another shot tomorrow. It's his first
how'd
day, right?
How good. Did, how, what
she's
what
older.
Kind of shape is she in?
She's in good shape.
Nice
she's
stems?
A little older. Good stems. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about just the aging. She's got to be a woman in her 60s,
her hair
right?
is shorter. I think she's probably in her 60s. Now, her hair is shorter, but she's still got really pretty eyes and a great smile, and it was just really cool
oh,
to
the
see
eyes.
Her. Yeah. So you know what she wore? Amazingly, like mine, she had glasses with blue frames, and
wow.
it looked really nice. I liked it.
Did you wear glasses in the scene?
No, no, I did not wear any glasses, which I wish I wish I could have because the script kept changing, and every time they changed it, it got smaller and smaller and smaller. So that actually brings me to the point that I wanted to talk about memorization, because after the fitting, we went back.
Good time to stop. Let's take a break.
All right.
We will take a break when we come back, because I really want to hear
riveted.
About that. That would be the challenge for me, and I'm fascinated by
the challenge was actually, it was twofold. It was the memorization and also going into an environment I've never known. I've never done scripted television. So the great unknown was right before
wow.
me. And
very
it was cool. a little scary. It was.
All right, we'll take a break, come back with more. Rob Goes to Hollywood on the Mike O'Mara Show when we come back. The next day
goes. You asked and we listened. Now you can listen on Spotify. In our never-ending effort to make it easier for you to access our content, The Mike O'Mara Show can now be streamed on Spotify, just another platform that gives you full TMOS access. So go grab the show and listen, and spread the word. The more you know, the more we grow. TMOS on Spotify. Grab it.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show. Excuse me.
Exactly.
Here's a fact. I have never had a better shave than the shave I get with my Harry's. The best blades, the best shaving gel, the best everything. I love the face wash. Harry's knows that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they created a trial offer. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/TMOS. Talked about how I love this sponsor. They're one of my favorites. They've been with us a while, and I love their products. Mm. I am a Harry's customer, and I have been for a long time. My Harry's package got here last week.
Oh, it's awesome.
My shave gel and my face wash that I adore. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. Lots of gimmicks that don't really matter. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you, Harry's can offer their blades at just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more for the leading brand. Now, if you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days. They'll give you a full refund. They know that they've got a great product. It's fantastic. Get this special $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover.
I used the cover on my trip to New York. It's
well
great.
Done.
It's so cool.
Our listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. Make sure you go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. Start saving while you're shaving. Rob has gone through wardrobe. He's gotten his outfit, and now the serious biz begins, I believe.
I was
right?
very, very nervous about dialogue, and most of the stuff, dialogue, if you know the scene, the cue lines will tell you what to say
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it's a natural progression
yes.
as far as dialogue goes. But what I had to do as Lester the DJ is do a full 45-second read for Dr. Scholl's foot powder. And it was tricky copy.
And is it in front of you?
I didn't know, so I committed it to memory. And it was really hard to get. And I thought, oh my God, this is going to kill me. Mm-hmm. This is going to kill me. But even though we had the script and they said, this is not the final sides, the ones we auditioned with, it's not likely to change. So on the train ride up, Sarah and I were in the quiet car. So we were very quietly running lines back and forth.
Smart.
For about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we really had it down. I even knew that monologue pretty good. And so we got there and...
Is that your longest monologue? Is the spot?
Yeah, it was a spot.
Okay.
And because it's a spot, you can't really deviate from it. You can't ad-lib yourself out of it. So we get up there, we get a drink, we go out and grab dinner, and I say, all right, see you in the morning. We have a 5 o'clock pickup for a 6 o'clock call.
Mm.
Go up, and after dinner, I go and I check my email, and it says, there's been some changes. They're attached. New script for your scene. And I open it, and not only have they changed every line, but the character of the disc jockey has changed. The flavor of the words have changed. Now he is not so much as a jive guy. He's more of like a dickish rock and roll guy. So the whole thing has changed. And I'm at square one again.
At what time?
This is like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, God.
So
okay, can I jump ahead and you tell me if I'm skipping ahead, but I want to ask you this. So with the shots, could you Obviously, you've got your script there. Can you like do a shot and refer to your script and do a shot?
Yeah, and I did that. For the morning shoot. I actually had my briefcase hidden under the radio console, so I could pull the script if I needed.
Is everybody doing that? Kind of checking their scripts, pretty much.
Even right up to shooting. Even Pete Holmes was carrying his side, so I didn't feel bad about doing that. So I'm panicked because it's bedtime because I got a very early call, and I do my best to at least familiarize myself with the scene, knowing that I can like read it in the car in the next morning. But it's not a
way they do it. That's the way they do it in TV, though. They change things at the last minute.
It's not a fitful night's sleep, but it is a fitful night's sleep. But I do think I kind of have it down.
Yeah.
Go to bed. My alarm goes off at like 4. Check my email again. New script attached.
Wow.
And not just any script, not just my 5 pages, the whole 37-page script. And so
everybody has.
I call down to the front desk, and here's the thing. They don't have a business center at my hotel, but there's a very nice guy named Lucian who he said, if you email me that email, I'll print it out. I said, it's 37 pages. He said, sir, no problem. He does that, and that's going to be waiting for me.
He's probably worked with people in that same hotel
that
do that. Absolutely.
So I take a shower and get ready, shave very carefully, use my Harry's blade, look beautiful. Check my email one more time as I'm heading down. Changes to my scene again. 7 new pages emailed to me.
All right. Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to ask whether this was par for the course? Because I would assume
it is. I would assume it is, but I need to put you in my headspace at this time. I am so close to arriving on the set, and it's the great unknown, and my only thought is I don't want to disappoint anybody. I don't want to let anybody down. Even more so than I don't want to look like an idiot, which is part of it. I just don't want to let anyone down.
We want to make sure that we're not the weak link.
So I didn't ask.
The panic here is that you have received an email, and that's all you have. You don't have any paper script, right?
Well, but I printed it out, and then the first time I read the lines that were the final lines was in the van on the way to the shoot. So Sarah and I are both poring over it, and we're pretty panicked.
Yes.
Luckily, we get there pretty soon, and we didn't shoot in Brooklyn. We shot on Long Island at Long Island University. They took over the campus radio station, WCWP, and the set dressers actually emptied out a computer room and made it look like a lobby, and then they redid the air studio to look like a rock studio. They had gold records on the wall and autographed pictures of rock and roll people.
Did you walk, or were you sitting for most of your stuff?
Oh, I was seated for the whole time. The only thing is sometimes
in the studio the whole time.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at me, this is the shot you're going to see. It's me.
Okay.
No one's going to see my pants because I was seated the whole time.
Which is good for you because they were too big anyway.
The set is really impressive. It's like walking into a radio studio. And they said, let's show you your mark. And they take me into the studio and I sit down. And you know, not for the show, just for us, they've wired the board practically so we have working microphones and headphones.
Oh, that is great.
They allow me to run board for the radio show. I've got a board.
You can hear yourself through the headphones?
Absolutely. So it is so awesome.
It's familiar.
Yes, it's very comfortable. Mm-hmm. And they said, now you want, we can bring you some fruit and water. I said, that would be amazing. I just want to run my lines a little bit. They said, understood.
You didn't say what I would say.
Which is?
If they offered fruit and some water, I said, could it be a pastry?
I'm sure they would have brought it if I'd asked. But
did they have a food cart?
Yes, they did, but I wasn't that hungry at that point because I was so flipped out.
You want to knock it out.
Right.
So we're there, and they said, we'll need you back at 7:30. So our trailer is actually like an 18-wheeler that's been divided into like 8 dressing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one of the dressing rooms, and it says Lester DJ. And they open it up for me. They unlock it. I go in, and I've got air conditioning and a radio and an electrical outlet to charge my phone.
Did you invite Sarah Fraser to your trailer?
She was next door, so I could actually hear her if I needed her. I just have to, hey, you'd run in lines?
I'm just a fan of Sarah's. I'm sorry. I'm a very big fan. I'll stop that. That's very
You want to make it big in this business?
Now, stop that. Now, so I'm waiting there. My wardrobe shows up, so I change into my wardrobe. Now, here's the first thing that really flipped me out. It was drizzly all day. Bands of rain was coming through. Mm-hmm. And a little before 7, they knock on my door. They said, we're going to bring you back to the set. They have a lady named Nicole whose job it was to stand next to me with an umbrella to walk me to the set. I have my own escort, and she's holding an umbrella.
This is Hollywood, baby.
Yeah, so that was amazing, and we get there, and then everybody at the set now, there's like maybe 40 people, literally, have taken over this little campus radio station. Walkie-talkies everywhere. We're dubbing, we're double-checking, and then this is what I like. They said, Okay, Pete is walking. Pete is walking. That means he's on his way to the set.
He's the star.
Yeah, and so Pete Holmes walks in. He's tall. He's like 6'7".
Wow. That's when you showed the picture of him online.
Yeah.
And everybody noticed that he is much taller than you are.
There was actually, in one of the versions of the script, there was a joke about how tall he was. But that didn't make air because the script was changed 4 times.
Listen to him. He's bitching about it.
No, I'm not bitching. I'm right now at the height of being tense.
Mm-hmm.
And I look in the studio set now because it's divided by glass. We're in the lobby area, and there is a bald guy seated at the board, and they're lighting the air studio. And I said, "Who's that?" And they said, because I asked a lot of questions, just because there was a lot of people that were there, and they're very helpful. And they said, "Oh, that's your stand-in."
Oh, wow. You're going to be in this phenomenal thing. They're not going to put you on the cutting room floor. Yeah.
And
you
get
a starring role in this.
He gets up and I look at a guy and he's a heavy 6'2" guy that's bald. And they said, yeah, he's about your height and he has your coloring. So he's your stand-in. That way you don't have to sit in there for lighting.
Talk about sweating the details for this show.
And then I look over and there's a guy and he's 6'7" and he kind of looks like Pete Holmes. That's Pete Holmes' stand-in. Everybody, Sarah had a stand-in. We all did. So when they're lighting the shots, we don't have to sit there.
So you just show up and do your stuff.
Yeah. And so Pete Holmes did the first scene with us. We rehearsed it. We ran through it. And he made a couple suggestions. And it went really well. He was so disarming because his character on the show is sort of a Augie, folksy type guy. Mm-hmm. But even in real life, he's not too far from that.
Yeah, well, that's the real guy, right?
But he is so fast and so funny, which I'll get to something in a moment. So we run through. It goes very well. They said, all right, we'll be filming and you can get about a half hour. So I'm walking and I'm just like, it's going to be okay. I think we're going to be okay here. Everyone told me, you know, make sure you have a good time. But I'm not ready to have a good time yet. I just think it's going to be okay. Pete Holmes walks up to me. And, you know, he doesn't know me from Adam. And he says, hey, you got a second? I said, yeah. He said, I just want to say how much I really appreciate you coming up here. It was my thought that we really needed professional DJs to make this scene work. And I want you to know this. Don't sweat your lines. Just know where the scene has to go and work with me. Act like I'm a guest on your show. And you can be however you want to be, but it would probably work best if you used your job today to make fun of every disc jockey you hate. And I said,
So he's directing you.
Yeah. And I said, I can do that. And he looked at me and gave me the greatest smile. He said, that's what we need. And he was so into it.
And did that just take the tension away?
100%.
That's why he's great. That's why it's probably going to be a great scene.
And then I talked, and I'm talking to the director, and she was amazing. Her name was Jillian Robespierre. She's probably a little younger than me, but she was so calm and understood storytelling so well. She would ask us to change inflections on one word. It would change the whole scene. She is so into the detail that way. And she was great. And I said, she said, are you ready? Is everything okay? And I said, yeah. My one concern is the commercial. She says, well, you'd be reading that if you were a disc jockey. We'll have it on your computer in a big font next to you.
Wow.
And so they handed me that. I mean, that's there. So now I can read the spot. I don't have to memorize it. And I would say by the time we started shooting, we had a couple jokes that we knew we had to get to. Mm-hmm. But by the time we started shooting that whole 6-page scene, there are maybe 4 exchanges that remain from the script that I was asked to learn. It was really just blocking and setting up the scene and allowing us to improv. And there was another guest on the show that is a friend of Pete's in real life. Her name was Jessica Kearson. Very, very funny stand-up. And we developed a thing where there was no backstory for her. So the deal was, this was Pete Holmes' first radio interview, but she, in our story, has done the Lester and Cindy show every year for like 20 years. And she comes in and always gives me crap.
Yes.
And there was one great sequence where they just called me all the things I looked like. My favorite one, he says, you look like a biscuit. And it was just, and
this is so cool, Rob. This is going to be great. I am so excited for you.
I'm excited for me.
This is awesome. This is going to be great.
We're shooting the scene many, many times because not only do they want different takes, they also break down and do different shots. There's a master shot of the room. Then we have to do takes where it's just a close-up of me and a close-up of
Cher. So is there a lot of ad-libbing and a lot of shtick that's going on?
And it gets more and more and more ad-libs with every take. And here's the thing. It's so cool. It's every time we do a different direction, Pete brought something new and even funnier to the scene that was destroying. He was so funny. And then if we had like a list of stuff to do, I could see
him. Did you ever break up? Did you ever fight the urge to break up?
Oh, well, I mean, as a DJ, I'm supposed to be laughing at everything. But there are times that it is so genuine because it took me totally off guard.
Can we get just a taste of your voice? You don't have to use the line, but can we get, what was your character?
Okay,
can
my
you
name do was your character? Lester the DJ. I'll do my introduction for Pete Holmes. I said.
Okay.
All right, I'm really excited to have this guy in the studio with us today. He's a comedian, but get this, he's a Christian comedian, which to me sounds sort of like an oxymoron, like a happy marriage, right, Cindy? Okay, here is Pete Holmes.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
So we're on like maybe the eighth take, and every take has two cameras on it, and they're moving them around, so they, you know, they have the different coverage. And I'm talking with this Jessica Kearson, and out of the blue, she says, "Why the hat?" Because I'm wearing the hat.
So that's her ad lib.
That's her ad lib.
You're shooting the scene, and she says
and
that.
I answer back, I said, "You've done the show for 17 years. You know why the hat. I always wear the hat. I'm never going to take the hat off." And she says, "It makes me more of a lesbian than I was before when you're wearing that hat." And I said, "I have to wear the hat because if I don't, people will know I'm bald." And she has such a great laugh. And I felt like 40 feet tall. And so we do this sequence many, many times. And then they have to do another relight because of the shoot. We break for lunch. Mm-hmm. And we go to Craft Services. And I'm talking food for days. I mean,
yeah,
just.
That's TV, baby.
Unbelievable.
They feed you on TV. Did you chow down or did you keep
it light?
I did,
because you know what? At that point, lunchtime is when it started to be fun because the pressure was off and I was comfortable bantering with these guys and it was so much fun. That's the only way I can describe it.
Do you feel like this is something you
could do?
You felt at ease. You could do it.
I could, but I mean, how often is a role like that going to happen? And where that
typecasting just takes typecasting.
Yeah, it takes one role.
I mean, I'm thrilled for you. I think
it was so amazing.
So very cool.
And so we go back after. Oh, and here's the thing: at lunch, by just dumb luck, Sarah sits next to Eve Plum. I sit next to Sarah, so I have lunch with Jan Brady. I don't bring up the Brady Bunch. We're just talking about she's done some traveling. She just did some theater, and she said, "What do you do?" I said, "I host a podcast, the Mike O'Mara Show." And she says, "Yeah, I did a podcast the other day and I got the worst question." I said, "What was it?" He says, "The guy said, what's the worst question you've ever been asked about the Brady Bunch?" Oh. And so she actually brought up the Brady Bunch, so I didn't have to. And we went back and forth. And the one funny moment is there's a lot of millennials on the crew, like waxed mustache millennials. Nice people, but it's New York and Brooklyn.
Brooklynites,
and
hipsters.
They were talking about kids and when they were kids. And he turned to Eve Plum and he said, "Where did you grow up?" And she almost bristled because, of course, she grew up. She said, "Los Angeles." Because, you know, she was on TV.
I grew up on television.
She was on iconic television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that
she was on one of the great television series of all time. So that's a big deal.
It was so cool to sit and talk with her and talk about she was interested in podcasting. She says, "Can I listen on my phone?" I said,
"Get her on the show.
I will.
We'd love to have her on the show."
So that was awesome. We go back, we do more shooting. And we're having so much fun. At one point, remember, we started really the day at 7 on set.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I glanced at the clock. They have a practical clock in the air studio. And I said, "God, Sarah, is that the real time?" It was 6:30. The blink of an eye, it was 6:30. And then the last thing we had to do was a really weird above shot of the entire studio. But I was not in it, and Sarah wasn't in it. And to make the dolly fit in this little air studio, they had us on apple boxes in the corner of the studio to a point where I had to pull my knees into myself. Otherwise, I'm into the shot. Mm-hmm. And they're doing coverage for Pete and for Jessica. So I can feed them lines, but I can't overlap and I can't laugh.
Wow.
Because the audio has to be pure for editing. And it's really tough because we had done so many takes where we're going really rapid fire like a radio show.
And now
I've got to not pick up cues and I'm not allowed to laugh. That was the hardest part. Fun, but the hardest part of the day is to not laugh and be in the scene. But he does so much funny stuff that no matter what he chooses, the scene is going to be gangbusters. And then they call rap for everyone except sound, director, the writer. And also, this was a thrill. The episode was co-written by Pete Holmes and Greg Fitzsimmons, who is a stand-up comic
I know Greg from the old days. He's a great guy.
But I didn't recognize he's changed his look since he's done a lot of his specials. So I'm talking to him for like 15 minutes, and he said, you know, my dad was in radio. And I said, really, what's his name? He says, I think it was Dan Fitzsimmons. And then I put together, I'm talking to Greg Fitzsimmons, a guy that I've watched on TV since I was a kid. And
very cool.
I mean, just his script writing was great. So everyone leaves except for like us five. And I realized this is going to be the funnest part of the day. We're sitting in the air studio and we have to cut coverage breaks that are going to air on the PA when they're waiting in the lobby. So one of the writers hands me and Sarah a list of topics with jokes. We do a bit about a Mexican restaurant fire, a bit about a 100-year-old couple that got married, a bit about the new iPhone. And not only are they letting us use their jokes, they're encouraging us to ad lib and break each other up. And
you can handle that, pal.
And it was the greatest. And then,
I called him pal, Oscar.
Oh my God.
But in a sweet way. Break up with him, Rob.
And the other thing I will say, the neatest thing acting wise I got to see is that the whole time that Pete Holmes is on our show, Jan Brady, who plays his handler, his publicist, is supposed to be sitting in the lobby reacting to how bad it's going as far as content. Right. And she sat there, and I watched her through glass, and Pete Holmes just said things, and they filmed her for probably 15 minutes reacting. And there was no limit to her range. She could do 5 ways of upset, 17 smiles, 19 ways of I can't believe they'd said that. And to watch her work and realize that since she was in diapers, she was on television, this is what she does. And it was like watching someone like Carol Burnett at work. She was that good at it. And it was awesome. That was thrilling to watch. And I still can't believe that yesterday happened. That's where
I'm
left
with it. On a scale of 1 to 10?
11.
Oh,
it really was. Awesome. It was so cool.
We
got
to
cool,
do
man.
Something around a viewing party.
So
we
great.
Have to
yes.
have, oh. We all have to, even if we're all like connected via internet and we watch this thing.
We can
that's
do it
so
here.
Spectacular.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations thank you, on Matt. That.
And
I cannot
also,
wait to see it.
I really
it's so
do have.
Exciting.
I have to thank you guys for covering for me.
Oh, no, man.
It was an amazing opportunity. But even
it
if
was
you
a better show without you, Rob. You know that it
know.
Always is.
If you asked me to, if you asked me to estimate how yesterday would go, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere near to how it was. It was.
I have a question. I have a question for you. Do you want my Marcus Serta update from his text he sent me before the news or after the news to wrap up the show?
Oh, after the news, if it's possible.
Very
after,
good.
I
good
think.
Call, Oscar Santana. Wonderful story, Rob. Well told. It does not appear that you've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning to get your train. You did a great job.
What?
I feel like we were there. So insightful.
So cool.
I love that. That was great. We'll take a break, come back. News you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Uh-oh.
We are just 4 days away from our first annual TMOS fundraiser. You're going to love it.
Yep.
Yeah. And we're not saying another thing about it, except...
Stop it!
Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Everyone knows that Amazon is the best. You're probably shopping there right now. Make sure you access Amazon.com through the Mike O'Meara Show website. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day?
I got to tell you, Julia will not take them out of her ears. She earned the money and bought them herself. The wireless Bluetooth Apple headphones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she walks around. It looks like she's wearing earrings stuffed in her ears, and they charge so fast. I think 15 minutes gets you like 3 hours of audio out of them, and they are a great price on Amazon, $155.69. Don't fool around with headphone wires anymore. Use these wireless earbuds. You're going to love them. Be like my daughter, Julia.
Amazon really does have everything. You can find the earbuds and more at MikeO'MearaShow.com. Remember, the only way you can ensure that we get credit for your purchase is to access Amazon through our website. Cost you nothing, means the world to us, so do it!
Do it! News!
News. Let me play that the right way.
News!
Thank
news.
You.
News!
All right, bring it. Donald Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame was vandalized again. You probably already know that. But the latest twist is the guy who did it busted himself. 24-year-old Austin Clay just walked up to the star around 3 a.m. Wednesday morning, and he went at it with a pickaxe. I watched the video on TMZ. Austin then called the police on himself and turned himself in. Hmm. There's no word on what's going to happen to him, but I saw not only the video of him doing it, but I saw the results of it. I mean, if you wanted to take it out, he got every bit of it.
Yeah,
he got every bit of that star. He
all 5 points.
Good.
Yeah, he got all 5 points.
He did, absolutely. Ryan Reynolds is producing an R-rated riff on Home Alone.
What?
that's called, I love this, Stoned Alone. It's about a guy who misses the flight to his holiday ski trip.
Oh, no.
So he goes home and gets high. He gets paranoid that people are breaking into his home, but it's not just the weed talking. Robbers really have broken into his house, and now he has to take them out. How do you not love this premise?
This is a pretty good plot.
No word on whether Ryan will appear in the movie. I hope he does. Yeah. If not, I don't want it to be another Seth Rogen vehicle. Come on, please.
Like, all right? Just Seth laughing?
Yeah. I do a Seth Rogen. There hasn't been much said about the 9 to 5 sequel lately, but Jane Fonda says it's still happening, and Dolly Parton and Lily Tomlin are involved. Of course, this is Hollywood, so things can change. Sometimes they change 4 times before you do your shoot.
Exactly.
Jane says, quote, "My role is an executive producer, and I'm working with the writers, with Lily, and talking to the writers. Right now, Dolly, Lily, and I are all intending to be in it. The original came out in 1980 and grossed $103.3 million. That would be $356 million in today's dollars after adjusting for inflation. There will be a name change instead, though. Instead of 9 to 5, it's simply going to be titled 95.
I was going to say they're going to have to vary the plot because now all those ladies eat dinner at 4:30.
Working 9 to 2:30. What a way to make the blue light special. The California State Auditor's Office just released a report on, quote, state worker misconduct.
Oh, dear.
And there's one case that stands out. There is an employee in California at the DMV who spent thousands of hours sleeping on the job. Between February of 2014 and last December, she slept more than 2,200 hours on the clock.
Oh my God.
That adds up to a total of 275 workdays, or more than a full work year.
A year!
Apparently, her boss reported they had to wake her up 3 or 4 times every day. But the boss thought the woman might be sleeping because of a medical condition. Obviously, all of that sleeping affected her work. She processed less than half of the papers she was supposed to during that period. She kept her gig.
Yeah.
As far as we know, she is still employed because her boss didn't fill out the proper forms to discipline her.
God.
So all she got was a warning, 2,000 hours of sleeping at work.
I will say this. Despite that, I'm still glad I married her.
Thank you, Carrie. In your early 20s, did you ever pretend to like wine?
Oh, God.
No, I always, when you were younger? I always liked it.
It just felt like it was a lot of work. And Natty Light and Natty Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want wine?
Culver's 29. Yes. Yeah.
New study finds the average person doesn't really start to enjoy the taste of wine until they're 29. But that stat is starting to trend younger and younger. The average person over 55 says they didn't like wine until they were 34. I think I fall into that category. While the average millennial claims their love of wine started at 23. The survey, I'm going to have to ask my daughter, my oldest.
Yeah, it's much more accessible now.
Yeah, I think so. The survey also found the average person can only name 4 types of wine off the top of their head. The most common answers were Chardonnay, Merlot, and Rosé, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. So there you have it.
Tasty.
Now a little something-something for all of you. The police in Nashville, Tennessee, got a call on Monday because there was a guy exercising at a McDonald's, which is suspicious enough, but he happened to be naked.
Oh, no.
No.
He was doing jumping jacks in the woman's bathroom. That'll freak you out. When the cops got there, they found 25-year-old Brady Young still naked, still in the woman's bathroom, and still doing jumping jacks. Well, he's in good shape, I guess. The cops also noticed a strong chemical smell in the bathroom, so they suspected that he'd been huffing the cleaning supplies. He was arrested for public indecency, trespassing, and public intoxication. And there is no word yet on whether he had a Big Mac or a Chicken McNugget. All right, when we come back, we'll have the audio vault, and I'll give you a Marcus Serta update.
Ooh. Can't wait.
I haven't really even read the text, but I think we'll see. I'll do that when we come back.
A few words about the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Not only is it the last of the great local radio stations, it's also the terrestrial flagship station of the Mike O'Mara Show and has been airing TMOS since 2008. It's the only station in the world where you can wake up to a crazy old man yelling about things and drive home with the dulcet tones of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's great music, great talk, great local sports, and the best auctions in the world. So remember, crazy old man all morning and the world's most beloved podcast to get you home. The mighty 1630 KCJJ and the Mike O'Mara Show. Treat your ears. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, note to self, note to the show. Tomorrow, group call to KCJJ, right at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
It has been too long, and when the three of us call, it's always that cross-promoting kind of thing. I'd like to do that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. It's the worst time of the year.
Oh, no.
Your intern is editing in a tent, and he wears too much cologne. Your wife has replaced you with a Bluetooth-enabled sex toy. And your hot water heater is as cold as your mother-in-law's gaze. What will you do? What will you do? Well, Lester, how about the TMOS bonus show?
Yes.
The bonus show is an extra hour of TMOS comedy each and every week that is so great it can change you from a Christopher Sabin into a Winnie the Booyah! The candy man can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. La, 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 babe.
Babe.
Go to MikeOmeraShow.com, click the bonus banner, and it makes a great gift. Spread some cheer, bonus show style. Please do that. We would appreciate the, we're doing well, but we could always do better. Am I right about that,
Absolutely.
Oscar?
Yes. Please.
Okay, from Mark and Serta.
Kill the music.
9:24 a.m. So I'm not, I'm going to be nice.
Okay.
But that's the middle of taping.
Sure.
Mike, yes, I was flying until late last night. I have to dig out from the work hole I'm in. Can we talk tomorrow sometime between 12 and 2? Since I was on this business trip, I did not hear the shows until the flights. This spun, this spun far more out of control than I would have wanted. We can discuss more tomorrow. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm fine with it. Well, try to curb your disappointment, Oscar. I am so sorry, but
I mean, you have no problem. That's fine. But what a curious moment to text at 9:24.
Okay. That's it. I don't have anything else. That's
fine.
That's all. Well, that's fine.
Let me just add this.
Have you ever really figured out where you are on your hot clock?
Okay. I think this is the best. I think that text is what's best for business for all parties involved.
I agree.
Well, I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
I
want to get one thing out of him for sure.
What's that?
That if there's even the slightest discomfort when he talks about a work hole, he talks about he's just been on a business trip.
We've all been in work holes before.
I know. But the thing is, coming from Burlington, down to Boston, I want to know if it's a hassle for him. We can do it another time.
Yes.
I don't want to put him out. And that's the question I want answered. And right now, I'm completely down with that, if that's the scenario. That's okay. Where I want to be.
Yeah, everybody's been
very
there.
Happy that he texted me, and I'm glad we've got that resolution. I'll let you know. We'll talk tomorrow.
Perfect.
I wish it was before that, but I trust that he's got he's swamped and he wants to do that. And we'll talk, I guess, between noon and two.
Window.
Monday. You'll have to wait till Monday to find out if we do it.
If he could move it up just a little bit, we could get him on the bonus show.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Now, without further ado, let's... did I open it yet?
Not yet.
I actually opened it yesterday by accident.
You let it open all night?
Yeah, so
are the sounds still in there?
It was chilly in here.
All right, very good.
Okay, now.
You've got a 1 minute
audio. Leaves blew in. You're going to love this, Mike, because you love Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes,
I
do.
I never knew this story. I just happened upon this. This comes from 1992, an interview. Did you know when she won that Oscar for supporting actress for Ghost? And she went up to accept. She was high.
Oh, my God.
Really? Well, she's a big pot lover. I know that.
Listen to this story. Sure. This is a story she told in 1992 about what happened at the 1991 Oscars.
I learned a great lesson. Never smoke pot before there's the possibility of having to talk to 100 million people. I smoked this wonderful joint. That was the last of my homegrown. And honey, when he said my name and I popped up, I thought, oh, f- oh, f- OK, Okay, up the stairs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, around to the podium. There's millions of people. Pick up the statue. Get the statue. Okay. And you should never. And Fagel. My mother called me and she said, "You smoked, didn't you?"
That's awesome.
Here's the thing. That's a fascinating story.
My number one
story.
Guest, by the way. I'd love to get Whoopi on the show. I would kill or die to get Whoopi on the show.
We approach her about quarterly, and they're always very cordial, but you know she doesn't do a lot of press. We will stay on it. To further that story, though, I said, I wonder how she really handled it. You know, the Academy Awards has a lot of stuff on YouTube. Here is her acceptance speech that she was, as she said, high.
Thanks. Ever since I was a little kid, I've wanted this. You don't know. My brother's sitting there, he says, thank God we don't have to listen to anymore. You can do it now. My mom's home, everybody's watching.
She's high.
Yeah. I have to thank the people at Paramount. I have to thank Jerry Zucker for taking the time he took before he decided to use me, because it meant he was sure.
So yeah,
especially high.
Heavy breathing high. Yeah,
feel like I'm watching a Jim Jefferies special.
All right, true or false? Oh, actually, I shouldn't phrase it that way. I should say it this way. Do you believe the fact that until recently, Oprah Winfrey had never Googled herself?
Oh, no. I do not believe that.
No
Neither do
way.
I. So that's Oprah's why I have to take this with a pinch of salt, even more than a grain of salt. Here's Oprah talking about the first time she Googled herself.
I Googled myself the other day for the first time, and I was reading.
Liar. What did you say?
I was like, I am so impressed with myself.
Yeah, okay. Great story.
This is what I didn't know, that I was first African-American self-made billionaire. Did not know that. Donated more to charity in the 20th century than any other African-American. I said, this is really good.
That's really great.
Really good.
It is, and it's a great way to let people say.
Does she swim in Lake Me?
Yeah, wow. Because this is my take on it. She manufactured a scenario where she could say
she
all
humble.
The good things about herself, but the umbrella is, well, I didn't know because I've never Googled myself.
She's hard to
riddled with lies. Don't lie. All right, let's close with this. This is a flight from London to Poland, and a woman was denied access to the bathroom, and on YouTube you could actually see her squatting down in front of the galley, you know, where they put the cart, and peeing.
Ah.
Oh dear.
And everyone is chastising her, and there's something I need to add after that, but listen to the tape of the lady being chastised.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I did ask.
That is disgusting.
I know.
You are a grown woman.
I
Get
know.
Get up off the floor.
I know.
That is disgusting.
I know.
Hello.
So why are you doing it for?
I know, I did ask.
Why
I did ask.
It?
Can I go, please, to the toilet?
So you think it's all right just to sit down and on the floor like
I
that?
I couldn't say it. I did ask, can I please go to the toilet? They said no.
Can you stop the tape for a second?
They did say no.
That's actually the end of it.
I just want to say, I will never buy another Adele record. Okay?
But so
that's all there is.
She was caught doing that, and here's the detail that I will reveal now. The flight she was on, the London to Poland flight, was a low-cost Hungarian Airlines, and I kid you not, it's called Wizz Airlines. That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Rob, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
On the show crashing.
Congrats,
and what a time that was. You put us all there. That was so very
Thank
neat
you.
To hear about. And keep us updated as far as when that show is going to hit in the fall.
We'll have a
very, very excited. Marcus, if you are listening to the show, if you get time, I like to wait till Monday. It's good for a tease, but I'd sure love to have an update tomorrow. You know, for my plans and everything else. So if we could do that today, that would be cool. But it doesn't really matter.
No.
I'm glad you reached out, and I'm happy. I don't care. I don't know what's
Mike,
going
you
on.
Have to
my world.
Mike, respect the work hole.
Yes.
Right, right. Brand new political persuasions will drop today as well. I want to say thank you to everybody for supporting our show. And don't forget, a major fundraising announcement for this show on Monday.
Yes.
That is a big, big win for you. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us for the best part of your day, The Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.